Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Pull on your purple boots for some summer reading. Anne Charles writes mixed genre mysteries packed with mayhem and fun, quirky characters, and a decent splash of romance when romance is required. South Dakotans probably know her best for her popular Deadwood mystery series. On Friday, June 29th, she presents at the historic Adams House in Deadwood at noon Mountain Time, and that event is hosted by the Deadwood History Incorporated and Deadwood Historic Preservation Commission. The topic that day is bringing history to life through fiction, but that's not the only thing she's doing in South Dakota. So let's bring Anne Charles in on the phone now from Arizona. Anne, welcome to In the Moment. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, thanks for having me, Lori.
I'm looking at your blog, and you've got all kinds of things coming up in South Dakota in June, including a big old party.
Yeah, every year we do a fan party, and it's a lot of fun. People come in for the weekend for the book signings and different events going on, like History on the Lawn. And so we like to end the whole everything going on with one big fan party where we all get together at a location, and there's drinks available and snacks, and we do a little talk. I'll do a reading of something that's I'm working on. And I always try to have a special guest, and this year it's Sandra Brannon, who's joining going to talk about her books. She's great. I've known her for years, and she's so wonderful, so I'm glad to have her.
Are you sure you have enough room for the two of you? Because that's going to be a big fan party.
Well, this year, I tried Maverick Steakhouse last year, and it was great, but we packed it, and we had people kind of overheating. So I've doubled the size of the location this year, and I'm hoping that we can keep it, you know, under 150, but we'll see. We're ready for whatever comes our way.
You're one of those authors. I read a lot. I read a lot of authors. I read a lot of books, that are set in South Dakota, written by South Dakota authors or have some kind of South Dakota theme. And I haven't read these yet. And it's always a pleasure when I find a new author to check out. So tell me a little bit about your connection to the state. Why are these stories set here?
Well, back, I was in seventh grade, and my parents are divorced, and my mom moved out to the northern Black Hills area, started in Spearfish, settled in Deadwood Lead area, and so she's been here pretty much ever since then, and that was a long, long time ago, because I'm not very young anymore. So I spent a lot of time, summers and holidays here in the hills growing up, a lot of time downtown Deadwood. We had an old motorbike. I could ride any dirt road as long as I stayed off the paved road. So I explored ghost towns and all that good stuff. As a kid, growing up, I spent, like I said, time down in Deadwood while she worked. And I would go to the Adams Museum because it was air conditioned and free. And as long as I was there actually reading and, you know, being quiet, they never said anything to me about what are you doing in here all the time. So I really dug into Deadwood history back then in the Black Hills, and it just grew from that. I fell in love with the place.
So let's talk a little bit about this message that you're bringing during the History on the Lawn event and this notion of bringing history to life through fiction. Studying that nonfiction, do you write nonfiction too? Is that something that you also write, or is fiction just the way that you go?
Fiction's the way. I've written some nonfiction as in writing books, you know, writing-related, but Not you know, historical books. I always, from the start, my mom lives here.
Right.
And I've read books that are not historically right, and I, you know, especially about different places I've lived, and it's a little irritating for me to not have the history, because I believe it. I believe the fiction world. So when I started this series, the Deadwood series, I knew when I dealt with the real history, I had to have it accurate as I could based on, you know, what everybody knows, the different research areas, you know, the museums and everything I could find to have it as accurate as possible. So I went through the work of researching right out of the gate with this series, what, you know, as I touch on history. And there's just history sprinkled throughout. It's not like a historical account of Deadwood. It's modern day, contemporary. But I include little bits about Deadwood because Deadwood Lead, the Black Hills, they're characters in the story. And in each book, there's a different setting around this area, usually Deadwood or Lead. And so I always try to dig in and find the best, you know, history, the stuff that I could sprinkle in to teach readers and share with readers what happened in this area.
Yeah. What do you hear from readers in this region about just the pleasures of opening up a book that you want to read, that's fun to read, that has a great story and characters that you can connect with, and yet is also, you know, sprinkled with who you are and where you live?
Well, as I said, my mom lives here, so... And going back to, it was so important to get the history right because she used to go grocery shopping at the store here in Lead. And it was, you know, I don't want people coming up to her constantly and saying, your daughter screwed up again. You know,
right. I didn't like that.
And then she would call me, of course, and then I, you know, it goes from there. So, you know, one of the coolest things is when I hear from readers of this area or who grew up here in the Northern Black Hills and say, oh my gosh, you took me back. It was such a fun ride to go back and be on the streets there in Deadwood again and experience Lead. And they really appreciate the accuracy, the history that I did do right, that I haven't made up. Of course, you know, anything I make up fiction-wise is going to be fiction, but they love that I have the streets right and the tiniest details about which clock in Deadwood chimes, you know, which does what, that I have those little details right, and they love it, and it brings it to life even more for them, even when they live here. And I've had some say, you know, I was driving through town, and I thought, here's where Violet was doing this, and then realized, oh, yeah, that's fiction. So It's wonderful that it's been brought to life that much.
Okay, but you could go a different way and you could just have a town that you named something else and it's kind of inspired, you know, by Deadwood. Lots of authors do that. You're taking on really an additional, you know, literary challenge by, you know, not taking the, I'm not saying that's just an easy road because there would be other reasons to do that, but, you know, you'd free yourself from a certain amount of that historic research.
Right, right. But one of the things I wanted to do when I started this series as well was maybe bring people to the Black Hills and let them see how wonderful it is and let them enjoy the history that's here. I grew up before the gambling came into Deadwood, you know, when I was here, when I was young. So my memories, some of my best memories are what old downtown, you know, at that time used to be and all the history. Because back then Deadwood, you know, a lot of their tourism was all based on the past and what had happened. And so while I, you know, gaming has done wonderful things to help build up, you know, the finances and parks and stuff, I kind of wanted to go back and touch on that again for readers and say, this is what Deadwood is underneath, you know, some of the other stuff. This is what's there and the wonderful people that are here. And so that was kind of the thought when I went into it was, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to try to do the best I can for the area and do it right, you know, when it's the real stuff. And I have locals that help. I mean, it's not me alone. I'm not this brilliant historian. I have wonderful people that help me with every book. I bug them to pieces, locals that know the history so well. They've lived here, you know, all their lives. Yeah. They are experts on the history, and they give me tons of info and help out, too.
Well, and that's you know, librarians and research librarians and historians are such a resource that I think writers today sometimes forget about because we have as many resources as we do on the internet that they forget the power of walking down to the library and asking, you know, a specific question, finding that right person, finding that connection. So what do people say to your mom in the grocery store now? What kind of things do you hear from her that she'll call you and give you an update about, you know, a new book that's been released or something?
She gives me wonderful news. You know, they loved it. So-and-so loved it. I've learned different names of people that she sees shopping a lot. And so-and-so loved it. The other thing she says is, they're asking again what you're working on and when the next book comes out. They're asking me, and that'll, she's asking, you know, they'll go on and on. And she goes, you're getting closer, but I won't tell them. I'm keeping it a secret. So she loves to play along with me and build the suspense. So it's really worked out wonderfully for her. My stepdad died about 10 years ago, and she was kind of floundering, and that was right at the time when I was getting going. And so she stepped in, and it kind of gave her something to keep going, you know, and help, you know, get her back in society, back going again.
Yeah. What kind of messages or questions do you get from new authors, people who really want to break into writing and publishing? Do you find yourself giving them sort of the same advice again and again? What are some of your go-tos?
A big one I get is how to get reviews, how to get people to read the book. And that's hard. I mean, it's really easy to get your book on someone's Kindle these days, or Nook or whatever e-device, or, to get it in their hands maybe, but to get them to sit down and take time to read it is not easy. And that's the biggest thing I think a lot of us authors struggle with these days, how to get that word of mouth going, yeah. Which is so important and so valuable. And I am fortunate to have wonderful readers and fans that to help me so many ways, support me and talk about the books. And so I get a lot of questions about how do you get so many reviews so fast? How do you get these fans that read and help you so much? And I don't think there's magic there. I think it's just being kind to your readers and listening to them. And, they're real people too. And just interacting with them, and it builds a great relationship. And unfortunately, there's no quick way up the ladder to success. So in the days of, the gold rush of indie books is gone, and, right. and that whole wave of, e-books. So it's just one thing, building your book world or your empire one brick at a time. And it's sometimes really tough, and it takes a lot of work. But keep at it, and there's wonderful readers out there who want to find new authors and support them and be part of your team.
Yeah. Is it all about, the individual reader now? And when we talk about reviews, you're not talking about, book critics or, coming on a show like this, you're talking about individual readers posting on social media? Is that the focus?
That's true. Because, and it's amazing, it's wonderful to have opportunities like this and get the reviews from the big, magazines and sources that offer, Kirkus is one. That's right. Great. But I think what my experience is with a lot of readers is they're like, yeah. They take so much, there's so much more value to them in something from someone they know, a sister, a friend, whoever, saying, oh, you've got to try these books. So they're so fun. That gets you in the door, it seems like, so much more than many other of the, broader things going on, like the big reviews, because you read, like, if you're going to buy a product on Amazon or any other thing, you always read the customer reviews, or most of us do, the bad and the good, and that weighs more than me saying, oh, look at this, is product of the year, right. That doesn't matter to me. What did Joe Schmo think of it when he used it?
Right.
So it just seems to me there's a lot of value in individual reader reviews and in people saying what they need to say or want to say about it, that there's a lot of value in that is sometimes overlooked.
All right. We're going to wrap up here with Bringing History to Life Through Fiction. That presentation is Friday, June 29th at the historic Adams House in Deadwood at noon Mountain Time. Find the whole list on Anne's blog and charles.com. We'll put a link up on our website, listen.sdpb.org, in case you forget that. But that's an easy one, annecharles.com, right? And Anne, right. Next time you come back, we'll talk about the books themselves and the characters, and hopefully you'll come back and I'll do some reading before you do next time.
I would love to. So, yeah, anytime. I'm available. This
Excellent.
Has been wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Anne. We'll see you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.